Thanks, Twain. I appreciate Twain for putting this together. He's a brave guy. He pulled us all together and he sort of turned us loose, and I think this is the first time he's actually seen the slide to know what in the heck we're talking about. One of the things that he didn't say was exactly what the timeline was. He said the grazing component is going to be an hour, and I said, that's great, that's about what I've got. He said, no, that's for both you and Richard. So Richard, the challenge for you is going to be able to make up whatever we don't have time for. You know, objectives for grazing research, I think we've talked about some of those, but I'm going to give you a short version of those that looks at addressing and defining issues of research. We are trying to, in general, we want a proof of variety. We want to define forage-animal relationships, proof a system of use or stocking strategies, if you will, proof a system of stocking methods, prove a number. And a lot of us are looking for the silver bullet to know what that may be. For application implementation for educators and stakeholders, then we might be interested in looking at some forage pasture management associated with its response to climate and weather, or stocking method boundaries and opportunities for that. The art and management for stocking strategies. Some other would be in a year-long grazing system. We're tied to component grazing, most of us. And so year-long puts it out there. You know, just have to put my finger right there and move right over here. Sorry about that. And also, we'd like to avert risk and predict animal performance or pasture performance, enhance stocking management expertise, and also look at some economic opportunities or constraints. You know, stocking method terminology gets us into a lot of good points and bad points. Alan and many, many others in 2011 showed us that there were 20 terms that meant basically stocking method. Most of those methods were variations of continuous or rotational stocking strategies for management of grazing lands. But there's two methods listed in that grouping that have been used primarily in experimentation with reference to grazing intensity and stocking rate adjustments. And those two terms are set or fixed stocking and variable or put and take stocking. So for today, I don't want to create a new set of terminology, but I want to just move those over to the side and put those into a stocking management, stocking strategy terminology, so that now we can look at set or fixed stocking or variable or put and take stocking in that realm. So variable and put and take based on management objectives, matched forage mass to animal consumption. We all do these forage and pasture use targets, animal condition targets, delete cattle numbers or add delete pasture size, mechanical harvest of forage, primary stocking strategies is used by the stakeholders. That's what they use. They don't fix it and go away and come back. They're using some method of variable stocking within those constraints. It's an optimum biological and economic returns, perhaps. Whoa. You know, Twain, you've got a really cute button system here, and I'm sorry for that. So, we'll go back to here. It makes this interesting for me. Be able to keep up where I'm at. I move right over here and touch only that button. Twain, you did that on purpose. You put three or four buttons up here that control that. Most of them went backwards. Or sustainability and environmental awareness. So what I'm talking about today, not to create new terms, but in terms of stocking strategy, I'm thinking of that of incorporating comparative scientific databases. This is not freelances, but it's incorporating comparative, keyword, scientific databases of forage growth, regrowth, total dry matter, nutritive, anti-quality attributes, defoliation regimens, all created by grazing intensity, stocking rate, stocking methods, climatic conditions in forage-specific vegetational regions. Doesn't count for everything. Counts in that particular forage vegetational site, combined with the art and management of efficient forage use sustainability for desired optimum animal production for animal and per unit land area. So when I'm talking about stocking strategies, it's a pretty broad encompassing type of term that pulls all that stuff back together, hopefully, and makes it work like that. So if we look at forage species and vegetation zone, land resources, we all look at this. And so for our clipping studies, Rob pointed this out, we're targeting right in here and looking at those methods. And Rob, I wish that I had known in advance we could use those dadgum videos, but in spite of that, I'm going to make these slides go so fast, you'll think it's a video. So instead of just staying with this, we're going to do some stuff that John talked about. We're going to add the animal in there, and once we put the animal livestock in there, we've turned from small plot, clip plot, into other stuff. And now we've got to make decisions, stocking methods, stocking intensity, stocking rate. Is there a clicker up here that I just ran out? Is that a clicker? Is that a pointer? It doesn't change my slides, does it? Thank you. Yes. Thank you, Bob. So now we've put all these together, and I'll move through this fairly fast. You know this, you see this, but as we think about stocking intensity, stocking rate, stocking methods, then we've got certain stocking strategies that this all feeds up into, and those stocking strategies, decision indicators, are databases. Not freelancing, databases with visual assessments of pasture height, patch grazing refusals, the expectations of forage growth. You have to be a weather person. Weather, soil fertility, fertilization, nutritive value, and art and application of that. So, from patch grazing, I'm talking about this. It's the best immediate visual assessment of stocking rate grazing pressure for animal performance expectations under continuous stocking systems for specific forage species cultivars. And in grazing schools, I tell the people, I want you to be able, we get through with this grazing school, I want you to be able to ride down the road at 70 miles an hour, look at that pasture and score it as to whether it's undergrazed, overgrazed, or about correctly grazed by using a visual assessment. Now, I said, that doesn't count, you're not getting scored on that, but use that as a practice for you to make those decisions. So, we're going to move up here into the stocking rate. We have to choose variable or set. We may want to choose both of those with the stocking methods, and in comes another something we're going to be talking about and using, maybe art. And so what are those prerequisites of the art of stocking strategies? Knowledge and expertise with forage species growth and regrowth attributes, experience with animals and animal husbandry, John, some intuitive application of decisions for input outputs. What does that mean? That means as a grad student, you make certain things. As your first year on the job, you make certain things. And they told me when I started, just do those stocking rates for the first 2 or 3 years for you. And you'll figure it out, maybe. If you don't, you'll be going up to another job. But there are some intuitive things that you must have. You also have to be a weatherman to know the current forecast and strategic weather conditions for that particular area. The ability to assume and take risks associated with the stocking for what you've done. Constant awareness of the impact of sustainability of vegetation and land resources. And then have an alternative or escape route for animals in the event of extreme unfavorable conditions. And for researchers, that's easy. We put them over on another paddock that hadn't been grazed. What about the landowner? Got to encourage him to go lease more property. So there's some opportunities there as we then look at the art, how these stocking management the stocking strategies then impact livestock performance, impacts production per unit land area, also has a major impact on nutrient cycling from the environment, and not last but least, maybe the most important, has an economic impact. Bad slide, I know that, but it's not just a straight going up and down, it's a circle, so that this nutrient cycling also comes back down, has emphasis on soil fertility. So, challenges, the primary target of stocking strategies, and pasture animal production efficiencies, gain per animal, gain per unit land area, forage stand maintenance, composition and ecotype diversity of that stand, ecosystem sustainability, forage animal relationships, model components, and economy of production, as we've said. So moving on, stocking method. The objectives, according to Allen and others, allocate nutrition among classes of livestock, improve the efficiency of forage use, reduce negative effects on soils or pastures, extend the stocking season, and accomplish an experimental objective. That'd be good. So, I'm drawing upon some stuff that Lynn and others did and reported in 12, where they looked at continuous versus rotational stocking, and there's three different areas here. They went through the literature, found, used 57 peer-reviewed papers, and this is what they found and reported on the impact of stocking method on forage mass, nutritive value, botanical composition, and persistence. These are pastures now. not rangeland. Richard Teague's going to talk to you in a moment about rangeland. What's rangeland in pasture? He'll tell you that. There was a 30% increase in forage quantity-related responses due to rotational stocking. No conclusive evidence that nutritive value was affected. Stocking method can alter the botanical composition and persistence. However, interactions with other factors made it inconclusive for the selection of a method. Stocking intensity was more important and was the most important management decision, or more important than was stocking method. Now, effects on gain per hectare, 19 of the experiments showed no effect on stocking method on gain per hectare. 7 of those 26, or 27, showed that gain per hectare was greater on rotationally stocked pastures. All 7 of these experiments included a cool season perennial or cool season annual forage for pasture. None of those were used a warm season forage in that particular area. And 1 of those experiments showed that gain per hectare had an advantage from continuous stocking. And what was that on? Coastal Bermuda grass. Just to give you a sense of where the variability is in those studies. Now, gain per animal, 19 of 29 showed no difference for average daily gain. 24% showed a greater average daily gain on continuous, and 14% showed a greater average daily gain on rotational. Overall, stocking method was not a stocking strategy that enhanced gain per animal. Now, okay, with that data set in mind, the perceptions and versus the reality of advantages, the perceptions of reality, why has there been such a departure from research-based databases to application recommendations for education and stakeholders? You know, as I go into county meetings, first thing the agent says is we need to rotationally stock these pastures. I don't debate that. I'm just saying you have the same thing. Rotational stocking is the method of choice. But there's no data that backs that up on pastures. Okay, or not. So why do stakeholders provide repeated positive testimonial implementation and information for the use of rotational stocking systems, which may incorporate multiple paddocks and rapid cattle movement deferment schedules? John just showed us some of that, moving eight times a day. You've taken a rangeland situation and put a dairy there. Maybe. I'm not being critical of that movement schedule. What I'm just saying, that's what we've done. We've moved there. So, why do we do that? Managers have an enhanced comfort zone associated with more frequent control of forage utilization. That wasn't shown in those reports. Rotational stocking mandates a more frequent compelled visual inspection observation of forage animal status, and the increased frequency of contact with animals offers opportunities for positive enhancements of animal status, temperament, and other activities. Managers, that other activity, though, is not going to be calving on pasture. You can check AI, but not calving. Some of those other rotational stocking offers a better fit for adapting to pastoral and animal husbandry management skill. Managers have a perception, maybe facts, that rotational stocking provides added value to soil-plant-animal interface, as well as enhanced gain per animal, gain per hectare, and increased stocking rates. That's the perception. But maybe they're just smarter than we are. So the grazing research and strategy to assess pasture animal production deficiencies, we can tie those into grazing intensity stocking rate management, whether it be set or variable, stocking method management. So from a forage mass and animal response, and I wish I had these coming in one at a time, but grazing intensity stocking rate is the most important component. Joe Burns and others in 1989 did a review and said that using a range of fixed stocking rates, not variable that I've been chasing, using a range of fixed stocking rates, highest average daily gain results from the lowest stocking rate. And I didn't find that out until 1999, even though I didn't pay much attention to what he said there, or wasn't listening, or didn't want to go there. So, sheep stocked, and Ray Brome found that in 56 that the critical level where sheep gained the most, had the highest average daily gain, was 624 kilograms per hectare in Willoughby in 1959. And I can imagine, by reading in Willoughby's notes here, it's the same kind of debate that we get into ourselves. So for 50 or 60 kilograms per hectare differences, we're kind of arguing that point. Who wants to have the most points? So So Willoughby found that that was 1568, and I'm not arguing that. I'm saying that in a 7-year stocker cattle stocking rate on rye and ryegrass, we had maximum average daily gains at around 1850, and it looked like this. We know that we have, in some cases, a curvilinear asymptotic relationship. In this data set, it was a two-plane, so that 1850 happened to be where the stats told us that it maxed out. I could go to 2,000, so it's in that level. Not 1,000, not 5,000, so it's in that relationship there. So on low stocking rates, those animals would have the appearance of that, or on high stocking rates with ryegrass on Bermuda grass, they've grazed the small grain out. They are now on Bermuda grass, and they're making great utilization of these pastures on a continuous stocking rate basis, a continuous grazing basis, not rotational. So, economic optimum stocking rate, we're looking for that sum. The stocking rate, Marvin Reree at Texas, was at Angleton, did a lot of those stocking rate studies. He got with a economist, Dr. Hildreth, and they said the stocking rate that maximizes value of product per unit area from meat production livestock will be lower than the stocking rate that maximizes physical output. What in the world did they say? Well, Mott Moore showed us a conceptual model of a lot of different stocking rate studies, and they showed that as this stocking rate and the gain per unit area, it takes on some curvilinear effect, and so there's an overgrazing. My slide may be a little off there, and that matters. So overgrazing is from this point of inflection here. This optimum range is just back of this maximum point right there where gain per animal moves down. So what's that mean? If we're looking for an economic optimum stocking rate, that changes the strategy for what we may want to do. So I'm going to give you three different models. These are not my models. These are forages as they present a model for stocking strategy. So don't think that I'm proposing this is the model, although I'm pretty definitive on some of the stuff with Bermuda grass. So Bermuda grass looks like that. And so for stocking strategies, these trends change with every year. That would be an average. So for the best way to blend that stocking strategy is cut for hay. And we know that. And that's what we do. That's what Bermuda grass is such a good crop for us. As we look at stocking intensity and stocking rate with cows and calves, we have forage allowance, forage availability, forage mass. So it looks like that. And the more cattle we put out there, the closer that we graze, which is what we want. But even under continuous stocking, we can have very close grazing conditions. But there are some trade-offs. John was talking about some of those. What are we going to do with those cows? How do we treat those? So I want you to just... all these cattle were on the same pastures at four different stocking rates, and the point is, look at the weaned yearlings that were on there, and these are in pounds. These represent the stocking rate based on 600 pounds of calf live weight. So it ranges from almost 10 up to nearly 4 stockers per acre, if we could allow me to use that. But the cows and calves on there, that's what a stocker would do. So he's ranged from down about a half a pound a day up to a little over a pound and a half. And so for the suckling calf, the difference in this range right here for what it's doing is a buffer created by milk production. And so that milk production is good for this calf, but it takes a toll on the lactating cow. Whoops. So, only point down here, stocker cattle on warm season perennial grass pastures had maximum average daily gains. There's other people that have shown this. I'm not the only guy that's done that. Somewhere between 3,000 and 4,000 kilograms per hectare for that maximum average daily gain. Just a short component. Today, 2014, marks the 30th anniversary in which we initiated a long-term nutrient cycling study on common and coastal Bermuda grass that was only supposed to last for 5 years. We've extended that, but I wanted to just show you the results of a 25 to 30 years worth of data put into a very small set of slides with the Comber Bermuda grass in blue and the coastal Bermuda grass in red. This is calf average daily gain at these stocking rates along the bottom. And notice, remember the conceptual Mott and Moore fits right in, doesn't fit exactly, and none of your data is going to fit exactly into that concept, but that's the coastal Bermuda grass gain per animal is declining in a linear fashion, whereas coastal is taking a much steeper slope on that decline because of the lack of productivity, with gain per acre, gain per the coast of Bermuda grass is trying to make a bell-shaped curve. We didn't have enough cattle on there. However, we were at 2.5 cows and calves per acre. With the common Bermuda grass, though, it shows a nice little bell-shaped curve within that. So, from the Bermuda grass, the thing that's important for Bermuda grass stocking strategies, animal genotype and class. John didn't go into that, but he was right there on the verge of what he was talking about for tall fescue. Age, body condition, score, weight, and Brahman influence. Forage cultivar, Tipton 85, has the highest nutrient value and average daily gain for in the Bermuda grasses. Stocking rate, with a ceiling average daily gain of about a half a kilo, what's the stocking strategy? Increase stocking rate. So, with some of these cattle, F1 cattle, and he knows it's good with that Tipton 85. Or Brahman cattle, non-supplemented, long-yearling, 100% Brahman cattle, we can get some excellent gains off of and strategies with Bermuda grass. Stocking method, there's no advantage to continuous versus rotational over continuous, and we can talk about that at another time. But as a utilization efficiency objective, produces lower average daily gain. So a leader-follower concept will enhance that average daily gain. Supplementation, John talked only briefly about that, whichever it is you want. Daily levels at 0.25% to 0.3% body weight optimizes efficiency, and use of Rumensin can also assist there. So supplementation would lead to that. Let's look at small grains. The stocking strategies for annual grasses, we're going to use small grain plus ryegrass. Jose just presented something on that just a little earlier before we started. It takes this characteristic dip where it has a bimodal dry matter production. You can count on that. It's going to have a bimodal dry matter production that requires stocking strategies for the spring forage production, and that stocking rate may be 2 or 3 times that in the fall if you want to have some efficiency. Combination of, if you're in wheat, you already have a built-in strategy in that you're going to be making wheat at the sign of the first hollow stem. You move those cattle off or not, but when you want to graze out, then you don't move them. But at the same time, if you want wheat, then you confine those cattle to about a third of the original pasture, and you've got that stocking strategy in mind. So if you had set your stocking rates to be at a level like that, or if you have a fixed stocking rate, that was a low stocking rate, you have this. Now, maximum average daily gain for that calf is occurring right there. You say, well, what about all those seed heads? He's not eating those seed heads. He's selecting the leaf. So it gets worse. And so if it's Bermuda grass, that's not a good stocking strategy. It's a great stocking strategy for the last until the last month. Then all of a sudden you're forced to do something like that. Now, other stocking strategies, defer stocking of the ryegrass pastures until mid to late January. Get out of that initial move away from that first blip that will lull you to sleep and think you've got a great stocking rate until mid-January comes. So avoid that mid-January cold, low productivity by starting later and supplementation. So if you were to start late, in mid to late January, you have a situation like that. Now you have to plan for those stocking rates. Our supplementation, and John talked about the end product, the end result. And so when we're supplementing on pasture with number 714, and this would be in mid-February, and when we supplement those calves right on out to the end of that, then we end up with 1,100-pound calves that are suitable for a niche marketing if that be your case. Now, what about tall fescue? Aiken and Strickland had a review, and they said that the management strategies that manipulate the endophyte tall fescue complex in an effort to reduce or alleviate ergot alkaloids, one, stock fescue pastures using high grazing intensity stocking rates, two, use non-ergot alkaloid-producing endophytes, novel endophytes, as a replacement for those toxic endophytes, and suppress seed head emergence by application of chemicals. The other area was management strategies that do not affect ergot alkaloid concentration in tall fescue tissues, but includes, and I could have told you this, Glenn, before you ever started that, get them off of those pastures. Avoid stocking tall fescue containing increased ergot alkaloids in late summer by replacing it and moving them to a warm season pasture as a stocking strategy. Overseed fescue with legumes and clovers and or feed supplemental grains or co-products. The application of those stocking strategies from grazing research, and here's where I think it's interesting that we're on the same brain line there, I think, is we want to extend beyond component-based objectives and timelines, because it is more than that short seasonal, and we need to be able to move past into a 365, implement existing databases to define those relationships for modeling efforts or not, to examine strategic objectives for soil, plant, animal, environmental impacts, as well as for stocking strategies and economic decision aids, a mouthful. But those are sort of the big target for us, as well as we've had this from every speaker that said this, and that's probably either good or bad, but initiate collaborative teams that may be multi-state or multi-agency. Now, for education, extension, and stakeholders, apply those comparative supporting stocking strategy database information, comparative database information, take it to the field for forage pasture management, sustainability, and environmental compatible systems. Apply component-based research findings to year-long alternative stocking and niche marketing, if that be the case. Encourage comparative demonstrations to reveal strengths and weaknesses of stocking intensity and stocking methods. Don't just take it. Look at the strengths and weaknesses of that in those demonstrations. And enhance awareness that the economy of the system must be compatible with what? Genotype by environment interactions. It's got to fit in that environment for those genotypes to be compatible and to be long-lived. So stress in this method that the economy of the system must have the objective of efficient production of a uniform quantity and quality of a product that meets a market need expectation. And John, for our end product result, it can be straight off of the cow, F1 Hereford Brahman cows, Angostura calf, fall barn, go through ryegrass or clover, end up in Bermuda grass in mid-June, he weighs 9 1/4, she weighs 11 1/2. I don't know if that's economically efficient, but for a niche market, it's a great opportunity. So, application of those stocking strategies from grazing research, I probably could have given you these next 4 slides first, but you wouldn't have stayed until I motor mouthed through the rest of these. There's a similar perspective of management for a grazing manager and an offensive coordinator for football. I am a Monday quarterback. In addition to that, I help them call plays during the dadgum game times. So, as we look at that, the grazing manager, stop this thing. You should get a bigger dang computer, Twain. This little old tiny thing. You see this, Paul? I hit 5 keys at once. I'm just looking for one. Okay. You messed up my whole darn strategy here with this stuff. The grazing manager and the offensive coordinator, what are the similarities of that? They both have a playbook with numerous plays of actions. We both got that. Grazing managers have that, as do the offensive coordinators. And those plays are arranged and sorted for the opportunities for successes against those defenses. And in our case, most of the time, it's climate. Both call plays in response to what happened last time, last year, last month, and potential expected changes in the defenses. Some have success for quick and repeated scores, and they score nearly every time. But most everyone has the same plays. They just call it by different names. We may call it mob, we may call it rotation, we may call it something else. Why don't they score more often than the defenses or win every time? And we're talking about not just the offensive coordinator. Why don't we win every time as a grazing manager with our stocking strategies? Well, the answer to that is twofold. One, the plays are arranged and organized and called those plays. That's the first step. I got my playbook. But without a game plan or a strategy, they can't win. And they're just getting practice. So, from the coastal plains of the southeastern United States, where Bermuda grass is king, crossbred Brahman cows are the queens. Thank you for your attention.
You briefly discussed fix versus put and take, which you didn't spend any time on. Could you briefly explain under what circumstances that we should use a put and take
come
system
on, McClain.
To fix soccer?
Is that a payback or something? Twain said, if you'd have asked me that at the beginning of the stuff, I'd have had some slides. He wanted to know, under what conditions might you use fixed and what conditions might you use variable? Come to the Southern pasture, for, the Southern meetings, and Glenn Aiken's going to talk about that. And Glenn, move the room, move out of the room while I tell this. You know, I think it depends on, it does depend, that's the extension term. What are the objectives that you're trying to make? Certainly, there are methods and reasons for having both of those. For the variable stocking rate, we have really used that technique. And I'm not going to say overused it, but we have used that from the technique all the way from adding and or deleting cattle from based on visual or based on quantitative, all the way to trying to narrow it down. And we're going to create a very small movement schedule, but hold that forage mass quite evenly. So if that would be the desire to fill in whatever relationship we're trying to define, that's where you would use the variable. On a fixed, when you set the fixed, you must have multiple stocking rates. You can't pick it. You can't pick the winner. So what's multiple? At least four. And so now you need comparative databases to let you pick what kind of forage growth and what the utilization might be so that you can pick those fixed stocking rates.
All right. Thank you, Marty.
Yes.